Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
Hello and welcome to your place for the football history headlines every day of the year, the Pigskin Dispatch podcast. And today's episode, we are going to go over some record-breaking performances by Eric Dickerson, Dante Hall, and head coach Eddie Robinson of Grambling State. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends, and welcome to the podcast. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and today we're going to go over the history headlines of football for the date of October 5th through history. So we'll start off October 5th, 1907. The Canadian Interprovincial Rugby Football Union, IRFU, plays its first game as the Montreal team defeats Toronto 17-8 in Montreal, Quebec. The IRFU, also known as the Big Four, and the Western Interprovincial Football Union, founded in 1936, merged in 1958 to form the Canadian Football League, CFL. We flip through a bunch of pages of history, and we go to October 5th, 1985, as a legendary Grambling State University head coach, Eddie Robinson, notches his 324th career win in a football game. The coach ended up being the head man of Grambling State for a total of 56 seasons and eventually ended his coaching career totaling a whopping 408 victories. We go to 1 year later, October 5th, 1986. A new NFL overtime rushing record is reached when Eric Dickerson of the LA Rams sprints for a 42-yard touchdown run to lead the Rams over the Tampa Bay Bucks in a 26-20 thriller in Anaheim Stadium in California. Then 5 years after that, October 5th, 1991, an NCAA record is tied when Fresno State reeled off 49 points in the second quarter against New Mexico at home at Bulldog Stadium. The Bulldogs routed their guests 94-17 in the record-breaking contest. Let's skip ahead a decade to October 5th, 2003. Prolific return specialist Dante Hall of the Kansas City Chiefs returned a punt 93 yards to pay dirt to help lead his team to a 24-23 victory over rival Denver. Another amazing point is this is the fourth consecutive game that Mr. Hall had returned a kick all the way for a touchdown.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Arnie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, to not only see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskin Dispatch is in the social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Pigskin Dispatch is also happy to be associated with the Sports History Network, the sports headquarters of yesteryear, found at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey, no day would be complete unless we celebrated some birthdays on it, and we're going to go to our Hall of Fame birthday selection for October 5th, 1911, and that's the birthday of Bill Corbis, a guard from Stanford University. The website footballfoundation.org tells the story that the 1933 Stanford Cardinal lineup consisted of 9 sophomores who were referred to as the Vow Boys, since they took an oath not to lose to USC during their playing days at Stanford. They were true to their word, as the Cardinal ripped off wins against their rival Trojans in 3 straight years. The 1933 victory of the Vow Series can only be directly attributed to the accolades of Bill Corbis, as he booted 2 second-half field goals to lift the Cardinal to a 13-7 victory over Southern Cal. Bill is described by many as having a cherub facial features and the 5'11", 195-pound frame, but he had the ferocity of a wolf in a chicken coop as placed on the gridiron. Bill's low center of gravity allowed him to get under the opponents and knock them off balance, giving him a great advantage against the larger opposition. Corbis was voted as an All-American in his final 2 seasons of collegiate football, and in the classroom he excelled with honors. Corbis was a student body president, and he graduated magna cum laude from Stanford. Bill was hired by the AMP grocery chain after graduation, and he clambered to the organizational ladder all the way to the rank of vice chairman before his career at the chain was over. Bill was honored by the Stanford Athletic Board with their Distinguished Achievement Medal in 1978, and his high school in Vallejo, California named a stadium for him. The National Football Foundation voted Bill Corbis into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1957. We have another great Hall of Fame birthday, and that was October 5th, 1921. That was Bill Willis, a tackle from Ohio State University. He was gifted with quickness, size, and strength to become a very formidable blocker in the Buckeye offense during his playing days at the school. Wilton's lightning-like quickness as his trademark and his clearing paths for Ohio State runners. His legendary blocking skills helped lead the team to claiming their national championship title in 1942. Bill was renowned, according to the National Football Foundation's bio of his, for leading runners downfield with his amazing pop blocks while he was on the move. Buckeye halfback Les Horvath won the Heisman Trophy in 1944, following his 6'2" talented tackle on many long runs. Willis was a great student, too, ranking high in class rankings of his business administration studies. Bill Willis was nominated into the entry into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1971. After graduation, Willis coached Kentucky State program for a year, and then Bill joined the Cleveland Browns in 1946. He thrived under Coach Paul Brown's system, becoming an All-Pro in 4 different seasons, and was nominated as All-League 7 times in his 8 years as a pro in both the AAFC and the NFL. Bill entered into the Pro Football Hall of Fame's Museum of Legends in 1977. After hanging up his helmet, Bill worked with the Ohio Youth Commission as he took charge of the state's juvenile institutions. Bill did great work in this career field too, as he was honored by having the William Willis High School named for him. Bill helped those less fortunate than himself, working in many service groups, including the Protestant Big Brothers. Here's a legend that somebody will probably remember. 1958, October 5th, was the birth of Ken Marjoram, a 2-time Consensus All-American wide receiver from Stanford University. When he graduated in 1980, Marjoram was the all-time leader in Cardinal history with 41 receptions for 2,430 yards and 30 touchdowns, per the National Football Foundation's website. Ken was a 1980 second-team academic All-American and tied a Pac-10 conference record when he had 4 touchdown receptions in 1 game. He was honored with the Pop Warner Memorial Trophy for being the West Coast's most valuable senior player in 1980, and he entered into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2009. And now we come to a Hall of Famer who came from a much smaller college in modern times. The 1977 October 5th birthday of Sean Brewer is celebrated. He was a defensive tackle from Millsaps College in Jackson, Mississippi. Sean is the only Division III defensive lineman to have ever reached the first-team All-American honor status in 3 different seasons, according to the website footballfoundation.org. Sean finished his outstanding career with 435 tackles, 332 of them of the solo variety, and a whopping 52 sacks of the quarterback. In recognition of his outstanding career, the Division III Defense Alignment of the Year Award was named in Sean Brewer's name, called the Sean Brewer Award, in the year 2013. The National Football Foundation voted Sean Brewer into their College Football Hall of Fame in 2015. After graduation, Sean went into educational vocation, and at last look, he was serving as a principal at Rosa Scott High School in Madison, Mississippi. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, the host of When Football Was Football, here on the Sports History Network. I'm very pleased to announce that I will be partnering with the Sports History Network to give away two copies of my latest book called Bears vs. Cardinals, the NFL's Oldest Rivalry. To enter, just head over to the following link, sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. We hope you'll enjoy the numerous stories in the book, which is largely based on the newly released Dutch Sturneman collection at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dutch was the co-owner of the early Chicago Bears with George Halas and kept correspondence, financial records, and scouting reports, which now allow us to peek into the management of an NFL club during the first few years of the league's existence. Along the way, we'll meet unusual gridiron characters from years gone by, including a quarterback who could throw the ball farther behind his back than he could throwing it forward, a Bears lineman who was such a good tavern fighter that he decided to enter the boxing universe, and a Cardinals halfback who gave up the NFL rushing title by deciding to not show up for his team's final game of the season. And can we forget the time the Al Capone mob interrupted a Bears-Cardinals game? The new book was fun to research, and I hope you'll enter our free contest today. Once the winners are selected, we'll be in touch regarding shipping as well as to inscribe the book personally for you. This might make a perfect gift for Mother's or Father's Day, or simply add it to your own personal collection. Once again, enter by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you, and good luck!